wasting content and time at this point.
Right. I mean, you're right. You can't waste it. But
just a couple of guys chilling.
Just a couple of guys. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Coffee and D&D. I am your host, Coffee Horse. And this is another great episode of Coffee Table Talk. With us today, we have Down South DM. Check him out on Instagram at down south at down underscore south underscore DM on Instagram.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Happy to be here.
I made sure I looked it up and I had it written down so I would get it right.
Nailed it.
Have to make sure I get it right. Have to tag everyone. It's only fair. Welcome to our this caffeinated chaos is what it is. This is the caffeine.
That is fair.
Anything can be caffeine at this point.
Actually, sip some coffee in honor of coming on the podcast.
I was going to make myself a cup of coffee, but I didn't because I realized I had beer.
So. Oh, well, there's no comparison.
There isn't. Sometimes you just want a good cup of coffee, and sometimes you're just like, man, I have beer in my fridge. Yeah, that's what I'm drinking.
And the nighttime is the right time.
Yeah, it's always the best time. Well, Down South.
Can we? Yes, sir.
How did you get into the D&D world?
Well, like a lot of my other fellow awkward, weird, nerdy types, it was easy to find my way into tabletop role-playing games in middle school and in high school. I started off initially with OG Warhammer and then progressed to Shadowrun, which had an absolutely brilliant time with Shadowrun. And then you have all the competing priorities of youth into teenage and work and all that kind of stuff, and stepped away from that stuff for years and years and years and years and years. And then as a ripe old man that's fallen off into obscurity from all the other passions, having conversations with other friends, and it's like, hey guys, you guys ever play D&D or any tabletop role-playing games? Like, yeah, I used to love that stuff. Let's try it again. And here we are, almost 6 years later. I've been DMing a campaign. My second campaign went for just about 4 years. We started the third campaign a few months ago. And yeah, it's probably the most fun thing that I have ever done. And this has come from somebody. I've done a lot of random crazy things. I played in metal bands and toured around and stuff and have experienced that whole nightlife. And I still rank playing D&D above all that stuff.
Honestly, I don't know what I would do without this game. Truly.
Same.
A campaign going for multiple years is crazy to me. I don't know how much you've listened to us or seen any of our stuff, but I've been playing for a very, 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 very short period of time. This is actually, like, technically speaking, it's only my second time ever actually playing D&D. The first time I played it was with an old coworker that I worked with. And he DM'd for another guy that we worked with. And then my fiance, the four of us we had a good time, but, I don't think it was quite what I had wanted out of it. Like, I didn't have as good of a time as I thought I was going to. And so I kind of forgot about it, kind of didn't even bring a second thought to D&D. And then Cam hit me up a few months ago and he was like, I'm doing a new campaign. I'm looking for another player to do some stuff. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I've never played. Like, I don't know if I'm for D&D. And he was like, well, that's what session zeros are for. He's like, that's what the first play is always for, like, figuring out if the chemistry is going to be good. And so I came in and I played on the first episode, or it was the second episode.
It was episode one. You came in.
Yeah. Well, they had done stuff before I came in though, hadn't they?
Right. Right. Beforehand, before you had come in, we had a session zero where we played a little bit. We talked, mainly session zero was a lot about talking about what's going on in the campaign, what I was looking for. And at this point, I'm as a growing DM, I've been doing this for 6 years now since I started in high school and continue. I'm still constantly growing, trying to find my DMing style, trying to figure out my flow, trying to figure out what I want out of a campaign. That session zero was really just a set of boundaries for what I was looking for at the beginning from all of those players. And then you came in episode one where they had played just a little bit. They hadn't gotten too far in, and you came in right at probably the most perfect time.
Yeah, I really enjoyed coming into hearing the backstory, an already going campaign. These characters that have, so to speak, have known each other for a little bit of time, and then recruit another monkey into the cog.
My chaos monkeys, they all are.
I really did not think that I knew I was going to have fun. You know what I mean? Anytime I'm hanging out with Cam, I've known Cam a pretty long time at this point. I'm never not having Cam when I'm never not having fun when I'm hanging out with Cam. And so I figured I'd give it a shot, and yeah, I don't know, dude, at this point, I look forward to the session so much. We had to skip, we have to take a gap week because some of the players are busy. And that sucked. That fucks with me. You know what I mean? I really look forward to these sessions, and it's if we have to skip a week, I'm like, oh man, dude, I really wish I could be doing this right now. And so the fact that every now and again, we get to do one of these, an interview style, but I still get to hang out. I still get to have fun and record and everything. And it's I don't know. At this point, I couldn't imagine not doing the D&D and the podcast and the interview stuff, the whole nine. I'm just having so much fun doing it.
That's awesome. It's shocking. I'll go ahead.
That's why he's my co-host. That's all I was going to say.
I was going to say, it's shocking how difficult it can be when you start to get a decent run of sessions going and then you have to miss one. It's almost like a withdrawal, you know, you're jonesing for to get back at the table and get back into that story.
Yeah, I'm not calling out a specific player, but one of our players actually made us, because we had been really good, because every time we finish an episode, we always set our next recording time. And sometimes, you know, we have to make a gap week, whatever, because holidays come in, stuff like that. Sure, people are busy. Sure. I told everyone, the goal is we are committed to this. We play once a week. If we can't play once a week, we plan it out for another week. And I make sure I have stuff to fill in the void. That was another reason for doing Coffee Table Talk, because I love to talk to people as well. And talking to people in the D&D community is just, it helps me learn. It helps him learn, and it just grows the sense of community that I want. Mm-hmm. I want all of us smaller D&D creators to be elevated, because we have ideas and products and fantastic stories that not a lot of people are scared to listen to, because there's this big range of high-end studio-made podcasts. Mm-hmm. But one of my players decided that he was a little too hungover and he couldn't play the day we had set. So we had to delay it. And that sucked. That sucked for me. That sucked for everyone.
I'd love to talk about that a little bit. That's something that my table is just now getting past. Actually, we've had two people actually decide to step away from the table, and it's surely a scheduling situation and kind of a priority thing. You know, I'm obviously the gray beard here. I'm older. You know, the majority of my table, we have kind of like a age range span, but most everybody's married or have kids and that kind of thing. We had one player that kind of, you know, would would get a little bit in his in the cups too much on a Friday night, and we got session the next day, and that it happened a few times. Oh well, I'm, I got a stomach bug, or I'm not feeling very well. You get the 4 a.m. text like, oh, don't think I'll be able to play tomorrow or whatever.
This was 5 minutes before our session.
Oh, that's the worst. No, 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 no.
I was no. Like, are you joking me?
Anger.
I know. I was going to say, no, we're playing. We're still playing. I was going to, but I was like, all right, we'll reschedule. Just this once.
I made a choice to build in a function in this game that would allow people to miss sessions easily, and we could still continue playing, where it'd just be a situation where you're just not there. You've been sucked up in the pocket dimension or whatever the case may be. It's hard not doing weekly sessions, you know, especially with the last minute callouts.
Yeah, and that was one of the biggest things. I mean, Toast here knows. Like, when I was talking to him about joining, I'm like, you have to make a commitment to me and a commitment to this, because I'm asking that we are playing once a week, and if we can't play a week, we schedule it out no matter what. But we are still playing at least 3 to 4 times a month, because that's what I want. I want that consistency. It's good consistency. It keeps everyone involved. It keeps the story going. If one of them leaves, I'm going to have to make some drastic shit happen, but I'm prepared to do so. And what that is to me, it's a falling out of commitment, which means, okay, I got to look at this differently. I got to either look for a new player, for example, or I have to change up the situation entirely.
Yeah. Yeah. It and, you know, from having both, you know, the experience as a player and the experience as a DM, from the player side of the table, you don't, everybody can wager that there's a lot of effort that goes into DMing, but you can't really understand like the full depth of the whole story, you know, what the repercussions may be of a single player missing a session. You know, what may be coming up is something that's really crucial where your party could rely on your skills and services specifically for what's coming up. So your absence could be absolutely detrimental. You know, it is a very, I don't want to take the fun away from it or anything, but it is a commitment. You know, it's, you know, people, your party relies on you. Your presence is required. You know, there's aspects of the story that have been tailor-made specifically for you. So yeah, it can be really, really tough when the commitment just isn't there from every player.
And
go ahead, Kim. Oh, you want me to go?
Yeah,
you
want go me ahead. To talk?
Oh, okay. Yeah, thank you so much. I was gonna say, like a really big thing when I was first starting with Cam was like, yeah, this is a commitment. Like once a week, you got to set some time aside, and we're gonna do this. And at the time, I was like, like how am I gonna figure it out? It really took playing D&D with Cam to realize how much downtime I had, because now that, you know, I do help Cam out with stuff, and I'm trying to do the best that I can to make sure that the process is efficient and that everything goes out smoothly and stuff like that. I'm like I feel swamped sometimes between work and the behind the scenes of the podcast and everything. Cam and I talk most of the time, at least once a day, about something, one thing or another. But even like a step away from like the actual process of the podcast and the recording stuff, actually like playing when I started, it was tough for me to envision myself only seeing these people once a week and like trying to build a connection and a friendship that way. And it's like a scheduled thing. I think I got hit with a fireball and I thought about it too hard, I think is what happened. But it's not even like the chemistry that we have with our party, as far as I am concerned, is superb. Like I couldn't imagine playing with another group of people But at the same time, I've really never played with another group of people. So, like, you can take it or leave it. You know what I mean? Like, take what I have to say with a grain of salt at that point, being as new as I am. But I really feel like the more that I play in this campaign alone, and then even the one shot that we just recorded, like, I feel like I've grown so much as a player and a quote-unquote actor in the sense of playing the character more than just me choosing what this puppet is gonna do. And like breaking it down, talking about it, I just find it like so fascinating that that's something that I've been able to do and enjoy doing with friends that I didn't have before Cam called me on a random Tuesday night and was like, "Do you want to play Dungeons and Dragons?"
And you said it just like that, didn't you?
Pretty much, yeah, dude. I did.
But it was a little more sensual. It was like, "Hey, Toast, do you want to play Dungeons and Dragons?"
The breath comes through the mic onto his neck.
Dungeons. Because I have an open spot, and I would love to have you join. Was exactly how I said it. And the really hard part for me is like, if I lose right now in this campaign, if I lose one of them, I tailor made this campaign for my players. Having him jump in early was great because I had done a lot of writing ahead of time and I had figured out a way to wiggle him in. But now that it's the four of them, I don't know what I would do if one of them was like, "I can't anymore. I got to prioritize something else." I would have to make a drastic change to what I have going on in the story. But I know as a DM, that's something that is always possible. Just like the possibility that these guys don't, I don't think they realize it because they're broken as hell. But at any point, they could die.
For sure.
Just because for sure. I throw something at them that they weren't prepared for.
Dude, I'm telling you, we'll never die. I don't ever see us being you would have to throw something so overpowered that it just wipes us all out, because I refuse to believe that there would be enough time that you would be able to kill one of us before we managed to pick them up, whether it's between attacks or it's at the end of the fight. I think that we prioritize each other well enough, like over fighting bad guy, like over the great, fuck the greater good. I'm here to help the homie. Like that's pretty much how I see all of us playing all the time.
Well, and a good proven fact is in our last episode and our audio, I used a new recording software, shitty ass recording software. It was horrible. I'm not going to name him. I'm not going to name him. That's why I use, because that's rude.
But when this recording is done, we're going to talk some shit.
A lot of salt will be thrown.
But that's why I use Riverside. I started out with Riverside. I switched to something else to try it. That didn't work out the way I wanted it to. Didn't come out the way I wanted to. And the nicest thing about Riverside, I'd honestly have to say, is I'm able to download everyone's separate tracks and put them into my editing software. With the new one I used, I could do that, but there was such a fuck up in the recording that there was like 25 audio files of one person's track.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
I'm 25, and that because I spammed my camera button.
It actually wasn't even you, Toast. It was actually Quill.
That's weird. She doesn't ever mess with any of her buttons.
Right. That's what I mean. It wasn't even you. It was Quill. I'm always pushing buttons. She had 25 audio files. And it was horrible. And then his audio, for some reason, just died at the end. It wasn't even there.
Oh, that's fun.
So that episode's shit in my book because I just pour all the way through.
Is that episode 12? That's episode 12.
Sadly, that's episode 12. Episode 13 is going to be better because I switched back to Riverside. And I think that's what I'm going to stick with as a recording software trying to get this stuff, like, we're using it now. I mean, there's still technical problems. Nothing is perfect.
Well, and didn't we record an episode before episode 12 on the other software? And it was like, we had a problem with my recording specifically.
Yeah. I literally had to delay the episode coming out because the software would not finish uploading your shit.
Wow. Wow.
So just horrible, horrible. I'm not going to name them because it's mean, but shitty experience, which sucks.
That sucks.
They don't even have near the features that this software does. And that was another big factor in the play. This allows me to make clips so easy. The other one, there was no clip function. Especially for social media wise, like, I love to show clips. You know, you may not listen to the episode, but you could always go through my Instagram reel on Coffee and D&D and and see our clips, you know, clips from episode 12, you know, clips from our sessions of what's going on, you know, just little snippets, some funny parts, some serious ones. But I like to share that because then it gets people intrigued on, okay, well, what's the backstory to this? You know, where did this all start?
Yeah, it's a great way to generate engagement, you know. It's micro dosing your campaign to people, you know. And if Riverside is a valuable tool to make that feasible to do, because I mean, you've got a lot of work with taking a whole session, editing it, putting it together to where it sounds good, and then putting it out, you know, then you got to find little bits that you want to clip and sprinkle out there in social media world and tantalize the audience.
Yeah. And after listening to 2 to 3 hours of a recording session already once over to get get all the kinks and all the audio problems fixed that are in there. And sometimes there isn't. I'm pretty raw with my audio. Like, I try not to fuck with a lot of stuff because I try to make everything sound better. I don't try to fuck with the things that are set. Mm-hmm. Like, if there's a break time, though, I got to cut out the break time and put in my halfway point, you know? Or
sure.
Like the one shot that we had recently recorded, which is releasing. This is probably going to go out a little bit later, but it would have already been released at this point on May 9th.
That's how you sound right now, Cam.
I know. I do all of the work for this. It's a lot. It's a lot. But I keep on it.
I would push all of the buttons all the time.
I really love pushing buttons. He has one favorite button of mine. There's one button on here that he loves the most.
It's my custom button. You need to take the filter off of that too, Cam.
Is that one loud?
Oh, that's
too
incredible.
That was really, really loud.
Hold on.
That's better. That's better. He does a crow sound effect a lot in the campaign, and we were to be fair, I think it was one of these, and it was before we started recording, like before our guests had showed up, and I was like, what if you just recorded your own sound effect of crow noises? And then he did, and now it's a button, and it's my favorite button.
It's his favorite button.
Understandably why.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's great. Are you kidding me?
It's really great because when I listen to the recording and I have like the video up top of me talking, I just see my mouth's not moving, but the noise is happening and it sounds like it's from me, and it's the best shit ever. Because it sounds like I'm doing the crow effect, but really, it's just a button. It's just a button.
That's fantastic. Actually, I need that as my new alarm clock, my new alarm tone. So if you would like to charge, you know, 99 cents, or, you know, I'll pay $5 for it, but I will take it, and I guarantee that will wake me up with a smile every day.
Oh, I should charge for those. I should make custom sound effects and charge for them.
That's it. A whole new revenue stream. There's something I wanted to back up on. Toast, you were saying that we can take what you're saying with a grain of salt about the play experience and all that kind of stuff. But that's.
Could you back up to the beginning of that? My fiance called me and I had to decline her call. I didn't actually hear anything that you just said.
No worries. He's backing up to the point where you were talking about taking with what you say as a first time player with a grain of salt.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think it's important to not only get that thought out of your mind, but really go the exact opposite direction, because it's a lot of people have bad first time experiences, whether it be your first time playing D&D, your first time playing with a certain table. So first, you know, your opinion is valuable and it matters in this regard. And second, credit to Coffee Horse and the people that you guys have around the table, because having that kind of synergy and that type of a cadence between one another that's established so quickly and so easily, so smoothly, that's a really important and beautiful facet of a great D&D game. And I'm glad that you guys have. I'm glad that's something that Coffee Horse fosters at his table. And it's something that I hope that every table, every player is able to experience at some point in time, you know?
Oh, and I love, truly, I'm still learning how to spread my wings as a new DM. And I love new players, truly. That's how I started. I was a first-time DM to a bunch of people that have never played D&D when I started in high school. Nice. And it was fucking nuts. It was absolutely nuts. A bunch of murder hobos. Proceeded to decimate anything and everything that I threw at them. And I was throwing very tough shit, but they were just like, what's the XP value of this? How can we kill this in the dumbest way possible? So that was my first time as a DM, really experiencing how crazy new players can be. So at our table, I mean, I have Toast here. He's a new time player. I have my other, player Hunter, who is also a first time. And then I have my beautiful lady, which is kind of still kind of new, but she has done D&D a little bit more. I brought her into the D&D scene. And then I have my buddy Cody, who has been DMing and has been in the D&D world for a long time, actually. He's been doing it for quite a while. He started back when he was in college. So I have a great balance of players that don't know what the fuck they're doing, but they're just going with it, and a player or two that kind of know what's going on and are helping the new players, but also not limiting them. And that's a big thing with me. I don't want anything you can think of, I want to see happen. Does it mean there's going to have consequences? 100%. There's always going to be consequences. But
always.
Always means, though, that if you do roll high enough, if you hit that DC that I just set in my head for you to do this, it's going to happen. It will happen. And there's nothing I can do to stop it. But I am sure as hell going to enjoy the moment of seeing you be like, I did it. You may not always do it, but hey, you can get damn close.
It's fantastic. That player satisfaction moment.
One of my favorites would have to be when Toast decided that he would let the door hit him. He was like,
what's the story?
He decided that he would fuck with an old man at a general store.
Okay. Let's pump the fucking brakes there.
I accidentally put the wrong number for the price of healing potions. They thought they were getting scammed. I truly just said the wrong number.
You said the guy running the shop said whatever he said, and whatever he said, the price for the individual, if I bought three elf potions individually, greater, it would have been less greater than if I would have bought a pack of them. And I thought, well, that's a scam. And so I said that out loud. I'm like, that's a scam, dude. Why am I in here? And so I was talking some shit, and I was and I was leaving, and he said, "Don't let the door hit you on the way out." And I said, "I hope the fuck it does."
That door did a lot of damage. I will let that door hit me on the way out. And what was really funny is I got a lot of controversial comments on that post.
Oh yeah, people were mad about that too.
Because in the clip, if you listen just a little bit longer, you hear me say that the old man at the general store takes his cane and waves his cane and slams the door into Toast, launching him 15 feet off of the steps of the general store into the ground, doing a decent amount of damage.
Right, that fall damage.
Fall damage, telekinesis. If you throw something at someone, it does a certain amount of damage. So throwing a door at someone that it may still be attached to the hinges, but you're still throwing the door at them.
It is a throw and it is a door.
He took
what level at this point? Just curious.
I think I had that NPC because I always make all of my general store NPCs, like especially the ones that I know could be easily killed, much higher than my party. So we're talking like a level 7 telekinesis.
Nice. Holy shit. Yeah.
So it slammed into him. It did 39 damage, 39 Oof. Force damage. And that was,
I have 80 health.
It's 39 force damage. And I was getting all sorts of controversial comments. And one of my players has said, well, there might've been spikes on the door. So everyone thought there were spikes on the door. And then they were like, well, it's only 2d6 for this and that. And I'm like, you know, thank you for your comment. But we play with homebrew rules. And plus,
there it is.
You must have not listened to the clip long enough to realize what I had said exactly went down. So if you want to listen to the full thing, come check out our episode.
Gotta get in that one. I need to get to that point.
I tell people to pull up to the arena and I'll make them spontaneously combust. That's how I answer hate comments.
Well, that's the thing about hate comments is they're just looking for a reaction. And when you give them a reaction that they aren't expecting.
You can have it.
They have nothing to say.
You can have the exact one you're expecting. I'll give it to you. Here you go.
This is why I run the social media as well.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
This is why I run everything.
That's one of those kind of friction points when it comes to taking your D&D game from the table to the social media space. Like it's a little bit daunting knowing how ravenous some crowds can be on some things, you know.
It's crazy, but one of the biggest things that I learned from it was like people when I was in high school, I was always tortured. I was always, for example, they were pretty much just hate comments, but hate comments in real life, they're just people saying mean ass shit to you. Mm-hmm. So I learned a way to just deal with it and tell them to pretty much say, well, if you don't like it, that's too bad. We do what we do. Figure it out. It's not my problem. Yeah. It's your problem. I'm sorry you have a problem with this. Mm-hmm. And when you bring it into the social media, you really need to have that mindset of if someone's going to comment something ugly and they're just trying to pick at every little thing at you because, oh, you did this. Well, as a DM, that's what I thought was right at the moment. And if you have a problem with that, I guess you're not DMing my table. I'm DMing my table.
As a player, I'll set you on fire.
And use this as encouragement to start your own game. And when you come up against this kind of a scenario, make your own judgment call as the DM. Right. You know,
that's the whole thing of it. That's the whole thing about DMing. It's what you think.
The door sets you on fire.
You touch a new character, sentient door.
It's that easy, bro. It's that easy.
You touch a door and it's trapped and it's spontaneously combusts and you light on fire as well. Well, I guess you should have checked the door before it was to make sure it wasn't trapped. Not my problem.
In D&D, fire doors exist.
Mm-hmm. Not just fire doors, but explosive fire doors. That good old glyph of warding does a lot of damage. That's it.
Get Lieutenant Dan, and now you're on fire too. Can't really get out of that one.
And see, this is the best thing is like I almost enjoy when people throw shade, because to me that just says, wow, you couldn't do what I could do right now. And you're coming at me because truly you're jealous of the capability that I took the risk to bring myself out into public and not just write a comment. Instead of looking for attention online, I actually risked it to make something that I love and enjoy to do and posting it out for everyone to see. So yeah, it's going to happen. Everyone, there's always going to be a hater, and no matter what, they're not getting anywhere. They want to be in your position. They're not going to be, because they can't take the realization of maybe I should improve myself or figure out what I want or what I would do in that situation and run my own game and then be like, okay, well, maybe he was right. Maybe I should have listened to that clip a little bit longer. Maybe there are some important things in this. And this is what Coffee Talk is for. It's for those players, those DMs that want that information. There's no right way to play this game. There was never a right way. There's your way and there's the book. If you play by the book. If you play by your own rules, you play by your own rules.
Yeah. And that, I think that's the beauty of taking that homebrew approach is, you know, the framework for D&D or whatever TTRPG you're playing, the framework's there. And then you can just go, you know, you can take whatever path you want to, you can make whatever rule you want to. And I wish that agency was a little bit more respected, but understandably there are by the book people. And then there are homebrew people. I do my best to try to blend a little bit of both sides. I'm more so on the homebrew side. I'm a rule of cool kind of guy. I even I like to allow players to argue their role. So if you have some really specific flavor in mind, I'll allow that flavor to be like a little internal buff. You know, if the idea is cool enough, I may decrease the DC. Just based on the thought that you put into what you're trying to do here, you know, but if it still fails, that's going to make the repercussions that much more brutal.
And see, I do that with these guys all the time. I always tell them, I throw like a persuasion check, and I have two characters that have horrible charisma. They never, like, I always give them the option to be like, okay, well, would you like to use something else? There's always that option. If you can tell me why you think you should use stealth instead of persuasion, tell me how exactly you would do that, and I might set a DC. It might be a little high. It might be low, depending on what it is and depending on how well you took, depending on how much you thought on it. It might succeed. And if it does, that's a great moment for you. And that is a great moment for me, because I get to watch my players fulfill that little bit of like, I want to do this. I want to do this. And if it doesn't happen, they're like, well, shit, it didn't happen. Didn't work. But I always go back on, you can always do it. Tell me what you want to do. We can make it happen. Does it mean it will work? No, it's up to the dice. But
yeah,
there's always a chance.
The dice always tell all, but
the dice tell the story.
The dice always wins.
Sometimes you win with the dice, though.
I'm about to buy a set of dice, because every time Cam rolls for his NPCs, I get shit on.
Because I have the metal D20.
It's tap the one? Is that your ringer?
Oh, this has done me justice. This is my DM dice.
Murders me all the time.
This is my DM dice. I roll shit on this, but I still always roll this dice. I have plenty of other dice. I have a fucking box of dice right next to me that is all set out and spread. So I have access to all my dice, but I always use a metal D20 and metal dice that I can, because for me, that's like camera focus, freaking camera. that's like the set in stone for me. Whatever I roll with those metal dice is that's the roll. Mm-hmm. If I roll with a plastic dice, I always feel like I have the ability to fudge or just twist it a little bit in one way or the other. So I've restricted myself to, okay, if I'm going to roll something that is very important, I want to do it with my metal ones because that is my set in stone. I can't give myself any leeway. Because, I mean, as a DM, there are some DMs that fudge dice, and I don't think there's any problem with that. If there's something that you want to see your players succeed in, if there's something that you've written in that they can exceed, you could either do it in the way where they try multiple times and it just takes over a period of time, or you could do it to, okay, well, there's this guard, they're trying to perceive you, but you guys are trying to sneak by to get to X, you know? Sometimes it's not a bad idea to just go, let me cut that down, especially if in your story it's important. There's nothing wrong with that. And there's nothing wrong with being hard on your dice either. Being like, whatever you roll is what is rolled. Mm-hmm. Again, to the homebrew thing, it's truly, as a DM, how do I want to tell my story? And if the story is going a way that I didn't expect it because my dice rolls are so good, I guess I can always change it just a tad bit to help get where I want to be or where I didn't expect, but I, in the end, I needed to be. And it plays both ways for hard or fudging, not always, but fudging some dice.
Yeah. I think that's a hump that I think a lot of DMs have to get over at some point, because there are times where you have something built in narratively that requires you to make that judgment call. You know, yeah, you may, your dice may betray you too as the DM. You know, sometimes you just need an aspect of the story needs to continue, and it's your discretion ultimately to allow that happen. You know, so I agree 100%. I think that it's important to be able to have the comfortability with fudging some roles based on the specific scenario. You know, I've certainly done it a few times to save players from dying.
I've done it once or twice. I've done it once or twice in the beginning of our campaign to help get the story in a direction that I wasn't expecting, but it did go a way that I was like, okay, awesome. You know, fudging that one number really did help them out, and it's helping me out because now it's leading me down a different path, but still to the same storyline. And with my campaign being solely focused on them, built around my players, built around their characters, built around what they strive for, and but still throwing in what's going on in the world, it's like sometimes rolling a natural 20 and calling it a 19, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, it's okay.
Okay. It's fine. I don't want to kill my players at this current moment. They're on the road to somewhere that I want them to be. I don't want to kill them right now. But
right,
I'm going to take that natural 20 that would kill X player and drop it to something lower so I'm not doing... Well, in our campaign, crits is max damage plus what you roll. So
yeah,
so it's like brutal. It could be really brutal. I think one of the most insane rolls I've had is in one of our fights. I rolled a natural 20, and then rolled max damage as well, and ended up doing like 45 damage to one player
Wow.
at one turn. And I was like, Jesus Dice, you got to calm down. I was on a streak too. I was like, you got to take it easy. And then there's other times where I'm like, my roles suck. I can't fucking get anything to work.
Those are tough times too. Yeah, it goes around the table. Everybody gets a taste of the dice betrayal, you know.
And my players have it the worst. They use D&D Beyond to roll, and for some reason, D&D Beyond really, really fucks them over. Really fucks them over.
Yeah, those D&D Beyond dice rolls are not kind.
They're never kind. I think what's our natural one count? Toast.
What from the last episode?
Total. Well, I mean from last total? Episode and do you have total?
I could check back to all 13 episodes worth of notes I have.
Yeah,
he's the note keeper.
He's not the note keeper, but he's my natural one keeper and my crit keeper. So
I do nat ones, I do nat 20s. Last episode we had 3 nat 20s.
Okay.
And we had 7 nat ones.
Holy
Jesus.
And I don't include Cam's roll. Those are not DM included.
And I rolled a couple natural ones, I believe, that episode as well.
Yeah, that's
yeah. My numbers are always like base plus, because whatever the DM rolls, I don't include the DM rolls. I feel like that's cheating. I only include the party rolls. But
sure,
yeah,
respect that.
I think total. I think we're around 50 to 60 natural ones.
I'll count it and I'll have a number for next time you ask me.
All right, you better. It's constantly growing. It's constantly growing.
It's aggressively growing.
The D&D Beyond dice are mean. They are fucking mean.
They're freaking brutal. I tried to stick with digital roles. Yeah. So, you know, I've played a few virtual sessions and stuff, and okay, we can all roll in D&D Beyond, or we can all roll in Legend Keeper or Bag of Mapping or whatever the tool may be. And no, I just can't do it. I can't do it. It hurts too much.
Especially when you see your own dice roll compared to theirs and you're like, man, why am I rolling so good? Is it because I'm DMing this? Like, what the fuck is happening?
it's the subscription perk.
Yeah, it's that subscription perk. You roll them numbers. You roll them high numbers instead of them low ones.
They'll sprinkle in some nat ones and stuff, but yeah, I think you get the subscription perk.
Yeah, I truly do believe that. Of course, that's the nice thing. The one nice thing I will have to say about D&D Beyond is even though the dice are meaner than hell, mm-hmm. I would say that D&D Beyond is really great because as a DM, I get to pay for the subscription side, and all my players have to do is just make an account. It's just so easy, and they can just join in. I can share all of my content. So if I get books or I add books, they have access to all of that, which makes it so nice, especially when I want to bring in something that is from another book. I can just do that.
Yeah.
And they have access to it.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. I like to... I have a table that has, you know, similar to yours. We've got a variety. We've got people that have years of experience and play every day or nearly every day. And we've got people that are newer to D&D or completely new to D&D. Having D&D Beyond as a tool for sharing content, easy character creations, all that stuff is fantastic. And I use Bag of Mapping as my VTTs, and they have a integration with D&D Beyond. So being able to pull over that full character sheet right into the VTT really helps a lot too. So you're not doing a whole lot of screen jumping.
See, the one thing I love about D&D Beyond is I make maps for certain things in Inkinator, and I can just pull those. I can download those files and then plop them into D&D Beyond and set up all my tokens and have it for everyone to see that can access it. Or if they can't access it, I can always pull it up on my screen, and they give me a separate screen to where I can put spectator so they can see the spectator screen, and I get I get behind the screen.
Which is
really nice. It's honestly one of my favorite mapping tools. And then, of course, now I don't know how it's been going. There's been some rough things with Wizards of the Coast and all the stuff that's been going on with development of their 3D map making. But I have messed with that a little bit. And that's another very interesting, and I'm hoping that they are able to finish it and really finalize it. So that way it can be as great as it can be, because that will be a great 3D mapping tool for all DMs that do use D&D Beyond, that do play digital like we do. We're not in person. We play all digital, to pull up a 3D map of, these are your tokens. This is the enemy token. This is the scene that you're truly in. This is what you're looking at, and be able to play it out in 3D, not just in 2D.
Yeah, that sounds cool. I was on, you know, I did D&D maps beta. I loved encounters at first. At the time for me, the experience, there wasn't that cohesive experience between encounters and maps. So it was difficult to, you know, sometimes there were enemies that you could create in encounters that you couldn't find in maps, or whatever the case may be. It wasn't quite cohesive enough for me. So I went on a long journey trying to find a VTT, and I went through Albert Rodeo and Quest Portal, and watched hours upon hours upon hours of tutorial videos for Foundry, and ultimately landed on Bag of Mapping, because it's just so simple, so easy to use, so easy to get set up. But I would be curious to circle back around to D&D Beyond to see what their map interface is like now, because it's been a while.
Their map and encounter interface is still not as smooth as I wish it would be. But
still a little janky.
It's still a little janky. You can set up an encounter and build a map for that encounter, and it still won't track all the way through onto that. Like, your map will say one thing of like damage to an enemy or to a player, but your encounter will say something different.
Yeah.
It's still all janky. But I'm hoping with the 3D mapping that they're planning that it is much smoother. I haven't got to play around with it a whole bunch. I've messed with it a little bit, but I think there's a big turning point coming in where we are seeing a lot of different, like, I mean, Roll20, all of these D&D-esque websites that are making map, like giving the ability to make maps and also play in those maps that you make, or make them from a separate site and put them in. I love the development of D&D, and that was one of the reasons I jumped into doing a podcast, is because D&D it's on a growth. Smaller podcasts, I mean, we're still on the lower end, but we're on a growth because people are slowly learning that you don't just have to listen to one. You can listen to as many as you want.
Absolutely. The D&D world is not just Dimension 20 and Critical Role. You know, there's a lot of us out here.
there's a lot of us. There truly is a lot of us out here, and we're all trying to, some are trying to make their foot into the door of being one of those next generation studio podcasts. But what I want to see from me and the other podcasters that I've talked to is, why not just bring us all up together? We're all in this together. We're all part of this D&D community. We have D&D community with our friends, and we play these games and we make these awesome stories, but why not bring that into the world of actual creation and creators of D&D, people that make products, people that make podcasts, people that make story implements, you know, people that make pre-made campaigns. Where is that community sense of, we're all in this together, let's do this together, and we'll bring each other up Yeah. That's all I wish is that everyone that listens to me and that listens to the people that I've talked to and chat with all the time, bring them up as well. The people that have been doing this longer than I have. I mean, we're still not even a year old, and I've seen amazing growth, and I'm still seeing amazing growth and working with great people like you, for example, down South DM, and like Nat One and Done, which we did a one shot with not too recent ago, one shot D&D. Like, there's so many great podcast people and creators that need a light, and we all need to do it together. Truly.
Mm-hmm. I agree. You know, in my personal reflection, like I say, I'm one of the binge brainers. So like I love to be able to binge through a podcast while I'm driving to work, driving home from work. I've got a commute. It's nice to be able to listen, like, especially with D&D, just to really, really ingrain yourself in that story and listen to 10 or 12 episodes over the course of a week. And while you're waiting for the next batch to come out or the next episode, waiting a week, whatever, I can switch over and now I'm going to listen to Nat One and Done, or I'm going to listen to Almost D&D, or whatever the, you know, whoever else it may be. There's a never ending stream. You don't have to be stuck just waiting on this one. And I think it would be really cool if, like you're saying, if there is more of a solid movement toward underground or smaller D&D content creators, whether it's podcasts or whatever, really promoting each other and bring each other up and sharing your audience with one another, so everybody gets a taste of that growth, you know.
Yeah, and one of the biggest things that I'm going to try to start implementing is all the people that I have worked with. I want to start like just tagging them at the end of each episode, you know, like, go check these guys out. And if I have their release schedules, I can tell them their release schedule. So if like we post our coffee talks on Fridays or Saturdays, and we post our main campaign on Sundays most of the time, depending on what we have going on. You know, we try to keep a consistent basis of, we always post on Sundays, but we always have something a little extra that comes out on a Friday or Saturday. Mm-hmm. But while you're waiting for that, go listen to these guys who post on a Tuesday, or these right. guys who post on a Thursday, you know. Mm-hmm. Just being able to be like, hey, while you're waiting for our next episode to come out, go listen to these awesome people and their story that they're creating. And then you can always come back to us. We're not shy. We want to share the love of this game, because that's, I'm not in this for anything more than to share the love of this game with people that are interested in learning, interested in playing, or interested in just listening to a storybook. Because truly, I listen to the Studio N podcast, because, you know, they're great, they have their great stories, but I have a list of small D&D podcasts that when I can't listen to those high-end studio ones, or I don't like the campaign that they're playing, I can just listen to another podcast.
Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty of it. You know, D&D for players and creators is 100% a pursuit of passion. And I feel as if you are able to more thoroughly experience that passion on the lower end of the podcast spectrum, because these are people that they don't have massive sponsors. You don't have to hear about fucking NVIDIA or NordVPN or whoever, or, you know, a Taco Bell commercial in the middle of that episode. You know, it's
right.
It's something that you can more so connect to, because these are people just like you. You know, they're playing D&D the same way you're playing it, either around the table or virtually with friends, just for the sake of playing. It's not, there's nothing else attached to it outside of love of the game. You know, I think that the more we are able to push out that pure experience, the better off it'll be for D&D as a whole, as a brand, D&D audiences, everyone, you know, and that'll be a conduit for more genuine creators and stuff to get their word out. And it just becomes a cooler and cooler picture for all things D&D, in my opinion.
And you know, one of the biggest things that I've like debated about is when I do get to the point where I can have people that want to put an ad sponsor in, you know, do I really want to do that? Or do I want to keep these available for everyone and have a Patreon where you get behind the scenes stuff, get extra stuff mm-hmm. from us where, yeah, you may have to pay a monthly subscription, but people do that all the time for these bigger studio and podcasts, or not even the bigger ones, for the smaller, like for some of those like smaller ones. Like,
yep.
Do I want to put ads in that are going to interrupt my story? I mean, I fucking hate when an ad comes up, but you know, I listen through the ad and then I get back to it. It's something that I've debated and I've been fighting with. It's like, yeah, it means I get a little piece, but is it really worth getting a little piece to have my story interrupted? Or would I like my story interrupted by me when we have to take a break time where I'm supporting another small D&D creator?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And doing it that way more so feels like a plug than an ad. You know, you are able to speak on behalf of another D&D podcast or another D&D content creator that you enjoy or willing to support. And it seems more genuine that way. This in no way, shape, or form is me disparaging people that actually have sponsors and they have ad reads and all that kind of stuff. I'm not disparaging that in any way, shape, or form. That's great for them that they're able to get to that height where they have investors that are putting into their creation. I'm just saying that I think that more kind of grassroots approach could be equally as beneficial in the end, you know.
And I feel like if I ever do get to the point where I do have ad reads, what I will do is I'll probably say, well, if you want to get straight to it, skip to this point. But these are, and then I'll be like, this is our ad sponsorship, you know, and do this, have the sponsors at the beginning, but then be able to be like, if you don't want to listen to these ads, bingo, just skip to this point in the episode. You're right into the story. You might hear an interruption halfway through. Say we had to take a break where I sponsor another small D&D podcast, but that's me. That's not me doing the ad read because I'm getting paid to do an ad read. No, that's me being a genuine person and being like, go check these awesome creators out because they're making just as good of content, if not better than what I'm making. They have a different story. Go listen to what fucking chaos is happening in theirs. Oh, you're not looking for a god-esque fantasy, high fantasy podcast? Well, how about sci-fi? Or how about something that's more Western? Or how about this, that, something that's more modern? You know, just being able to share that, or even like, oh, hey, are you looking for a product from someone that's making a small D&D product? Like, for example, I've been reaching out to smaller dice companies like Colt Dice and a couple of those smaller ones because they make great products. They spend their time making these awesome dice and they spend hours of their days figuring out, okay, well, what do I want for my next dice concept? They deserve to be plugged and deserve to have an opportunity where they're making money off of people listening to me, going to them and say, oh, they do have awesome products. That's awesome that these people support that. And that is a genuine thing, not just an ad read like NordVPN or whatever else.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. You know, you're supporting projects, you know, and when we talk about dice makers or content creators and stuff, you know, making the choice to listen to this ad and okay, yeah, let's go check them out. Let's check out, you know, Cult Dice or, you know, Dark Duck or whoever it may be. If you buy a set of dice from them, you're not just putting money in their bank. You're the money's going to support their business and pay for the hundreds to thousands of dollars they put into supplies or whatever, but you are paying for their passion and they're putting a little bit of fuel back in their tank. You know, that you're reaffirming that. Yeah, it's motivation. You're reaffirming their desire to do this, you know, because it's not, you know, I'm sure it's not easy to put yourself out there like this. Something like D&D, anything touching D&D, oftentimes is very personal. You know, you spend as a DM, you spend a lot of time writing and putting your campaign together. Toast as a player, you are putting yourself out there in a podcast format, you know, in whether it's noted or open or realized or not, in pretty personal ways. You know, you're exposing aspects of your personality that reflect through this character. You know, it takes a concerted effort to do that. And that is, again, you know, an expression of passion that I believe should be applauded and rewarded, you know, allowing people that window in on, you know, your creative journey.
And I feel like a lot of times people don't get the recognition or even the opportunity to pursue an avenue to get the recognition that, whether it's deserved or not, that's up for debate, you know what I mean? But like for any reason or anything, like any little thing that makes you different from other creators or your product different from somebody else's that some people are just never gonna see. Because the avenue isn't there for you to put it out there.
That's honestly something that you know, and Coffee Horse, I know I spoke to you about this a little bit on our first conversation. I personally have had a lot of reticence with going forward with this little D&D plan that I've been kind of crafting for a while. It's scary, you know, because again, D&D can be something very personal to you. You put a lot of time, a lot of passion, a lot of effort into it, and attempting to put yourself out there, it can be a big deal to you personally, you know. And anyone that's willing to make the slightest bit of effort to support that, whether it is, you know, you guys making the choice to shout out a creator on your podcast. You know, either whether it's the actual play podcast or the talk podcast, or putting up a post on social media. You know, those are the things that give people the confidence to keep going for it. You know, so I commend it, and I know I feel like I'm on a soapbox, you know, kind of elevating this point, but I really, really, really encourage, you know, that line of logic and that thought process that says we should lift one another up in this regard.
100%. And I think the other where this also comes from is the thing of like, you know, one thing in the world nowadays is social media. Yeah, it's a big thing. It's in our lives at a daily basis. But what happened to kindness? What happened to generosity? What happened to the honesty of people being people and just taking a second to for someone to appreciate someone else. I'm not saying our world has lost that. It's still out there. It's just like if someone's a gentleman, it's very rare. You know, why don't we have more of that community aspect? Because in the end, shit could go completely sideways, but if you have a community of people that are willing and that want to support you and you want to support them, they're going to have your back and you're going to have theirs, even in the hardest of times. And as a small creator, it's tough. These are our hard times trying to build this brand, even if it's not going to blow up, but just trying to get the name out there so that way we can get our product, get our service, get our story to the people that do want to listen. It's tough.
Yeah.
Truly is. And I remember from our first conversation, you talking about your D&D aspect of wanting to have pre-made implements for people that are new to DMing and want to start a campaign.
I think that it's something that could. It's kind of the same thought. You know, I want D&D to be bigger. I want people to feel less uncomfortable with the idea of starting to play. You know, you got a group of friends that sit around and say, okay, well, who's going to be a DM? And nobody wants to be the DM, you know. Well, if you have something out there where you have pre-made one shots or pre-made campaigns where everything's there, the lore's there, the battle map's there, the VTT to play it on's there, the enemies are there, the assets there, it's all there. Then all you have to do from there is focus on playing and getting comfortable with playing, you know. I just I think it can be cool for people, you know?
I think it's really cool. And I would love to do a tester of one.
Yeah.
Even as a one shot, I would love to do a tester of one of yours. And I, either me DMing or you DMing, I would love to test out one of your pre-mades. That would be truly awesome. It'd be great. And of course I would bring this hooligan with me.
I'm always there.
Burn everything. Toast.
I'm always there.
But I would bring this delinquent with me. And that is something that as a first time DM that when I started, I wish I had a pre-made campaign where I could be like, well, this is what you're doing. And then be able to throw my twist into it, but still have a story that is already built that I'm not like trying to write in the moment. Because when I first started, I had nothing. It was just on a whim. You're going this way, that way, this way. And I'm a little more structured now with what I want, not for the podcast reason, but just for myself. But it would have been for a first time DM, that would have game changed everything, because that would have made DMing be like, oh, well, if this is how it's done, you know, okay, I understand it now. I can make something. I could do this. I can build my own story. It seems daunting at first, but if you have something to help you and guide you, and having that as a guide of this is my guide, I can do something like this. I mean, there's plenty of books that do that, but when you don't want to pay for a book just for a one-time story that's been played, but you want to make something that's custom to your players, and you can't always find that in the book. You know, having that service where you could be like, well, these are what my players are like. Okay, well, let's take a look at what there is, and being able to find a pre-made campaign, a pre-made one-shot that perfectly fits your characters is, even if it's like not exactly, but it's right there, and you're like, okay, well, I could tweak it a little bit. I could change the names. I could change this little bit of lore, but it'll still go the same direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Yeah. I think that it will be really, really freaking cool. Maybe the same thought that you expressed. You know, it's what I would have wanted when I first started. And I feel like there are a lot of people out there that are turned away from D&D because they have that difficult first time experience where, okay, I've got my monster manual, I've got my player's handbook, I've got my DM's guide, I've spent, you know, a cumulative $240 fucking dollars on these three books, and I still don't have a campaign, or I still don't have a one shot because there's no quests in here. So okay, now let me buy the Adventures of the Sword Coast, and now I've got this book that I have to read through to get all these classes and all this kind of stuff, and I still don't have a quest yet, you know.
Right.
Let's sink all that out.
100%. And like even the starter box, even buying the D&D starter box, they have a quest line for you, but it's still so daunting.
Yep.
Because
agreed.
There's still so much that isn't there that as a first time DM you need. There's the structure of this is the quest line that they could go on. But when you have a group of players that you're like, this doesn't fit them. They're not going to, this isn't interesting to be. This isn't going to be interesting to them. It's so hard to just be like, well, let's try this, because then that brings on that bad experience, not only as a DM, but as a player, you know, having to go through a shitty first campaign, you know, it's really tough. Some of them don't, most of the time, they don't even finish it because it's so daunting. And it's not what they want. It's not what they were looking for. For example, Tosik said exactly. He played a couple sessions, and it just wasn't what he was looking for. Just wasn't there. I've had that experience too. I've only been a player a couple times. And, you know, it just, the DM was just a little too hard on his rules and wouldn't let what I wanted to happen, that creativity to shine through, unless it was going to really not, you know, like there's consequences and then there's, you're going to get fucked up. I'm going to destroy you. Even if you fail this a little bit, this DC is way the fuck up here and you're rolling here. So one of the, and it comes back to mind. It's like one of the things that I wanted was I wanted to, if you make something creative and you tell me it, depending on how creative and or depending on how cool it is, rule of cool, we'll see if it can happen. I want it to happen, truly. As a DM, I want that shit to happen. But when your dice fuck you, there's nothing I can do. there's nothing I can do. And I know Toast has experienced that several times with things that he's wanted to do.
Yeah, some of my things are a little outlandish, but I'll figure out a way somehow.
I gotta hear an example. I gotta hear an example, man.
Like, great example. He got a gun. He got a pistol from a bad guy. And I told him, and he's very lenient at this, I had a low DC, but he had to train with it because he's not proficient with pistols. I told him that if he spent 7 days, you know, at downtime, during a long rest, during travel, whenever, just practicing with it, he could have proficiency in it. And I set a low DC for everyone. His dice fucked him every time. He goes to use it on a bad guy, and he rolls a natural one when you're not proficient with a certain item. Toast, what happened when you had to use that?
I shot Stygius in the shoulder, and it exploded in my face.
Oh, no. Toast, no. The betrayal.
It was bad. He's all right. He didn't take that much damage, but... Yeah, it was bad.
I was more worried about your face. You know?
It was a bummer for me, but I was like, you know, that's how the dice are sometimes. They're brutal. They are brutal. They tell the story. Apparently he was not meant to wield a gun, but he is powerful enough to have schizophrenia.
Magical schizophrenia.
Magical schizophrenia. He found a magic item that was cursed, and that was on my end. I had rolled the dice because I have a loot table for if they roll natural 20 while they're traveling, they can always maybe find some unique item. Mm-hmm. I rolled something that I wasn't planning on giving away right off the bat. It was supposed to be later down the line, but it was still on my table because I had just added it in, and that was the thing I rolled. So now his character has a little bit of schizophrenia where he says things twice. He does things twice. If he locks a door, he can unlock a door without even realizing it. He has to make a charisma saving throw for said things. And he was
making it more simple.
He was level 6 when he got it. He's one level up now. And he still hasn't. The nice thing is they haven't gotten in enough conflict where I've had to use it. But we'll wait and see.
I hate that.
The DM grin. He knows.
Mm-hmm.
When he sees me grin and say, but, or sure, roll for it. That's always no. And I don't want that to deter them. It's the reaction of, okay, you want to do this? I would love to see this happen. Doesn't mean there's not going to be a consequence for this not working.
Right.
I don't want you to be like, no, I don't want to do this now. I want you to do it. I want you to succeed. It might fuck up though.
My go-to was, let's play this out. Roll.
Mine is, they tell me and I go, okay, roll this. I don't tell them the consequence or not, because the consequence is, okay, if they succeed, there is not a consequence. But if they fail, that's where it comes in.
All those beautiful moments.
They're great moments. They're great, great moments.
Noticeably, Toast is not smiling as big at any of this as you and me are.
I know he's.
All good, sir.
It's all good. All right. Well, we will let you go.
Yeah. Yeah. It was great. It was great talking to you guys. It was great getting in here and yapping about everything. I hope the rest of your guys' conversation goes well. Down south, it was really nice to meet you, bro. I hope we get to do that one shot sometime in the near future. I don't know if I want you or Cam to DM it though. I don't know. I'd be interested to try a new DM, but Cam has always got something for me, dude. I don't know.
Well, I'll see how it would go either way, man. Good luck, dude.
We'll see you guys.
Take care. Well, down south, you've been a great guest. You've been a fantastic guest.
Thank you for allowing me the honor to be on your podcast.
It's a pleasure. I truly do love talking to people. This is why I do this little bit of side to our normal campaign, because I want to give people the opportunity to learn about, I mean, me as a DM, my player Toast, and anyone else that I have that I've brought on. I mean, I've had a lot of great guests. You're probably one of the greats. I've had Nat One and Done. I've had Ivy B from Crit Awards, the CEO.
Oh, cool. Holy shit.
Yeah, nice. She's super nice lady. She's incredible in what she does. Her coffee talk's actually coming out, I think, this Sunday. I think I'm doing a little bit of a switch up. I think I'm having my one shot come out May 9th, and I'm having her episode come out May 11th. So I'm doing a little switch up, but...
Oh yeah!
It was a great conversation. She's originally from Wyoming, and then she moved out to California. There's a lot of fun conversations in there between all of us. Toast not being from Wyoming originally, being from Portland, and me and her being from Wyoming and having that fun connection part. It's great to see this community, and I really do hope you had mentioned at some point you were planning on starting a podcast. Do let me know. Truly do let me know when you start it, because it would be my pleasure to throw you in.
I would certainly appreciate it. I hope to be there in the coming months.
Well, if you ever need any help, if you ever had any questions, please do contact me. I've only been doing this for a couple months, but I know a lot more than I did when I started.
I tried not to make it obvious, but as you were talking about Riverside Audio and stuff, I've been taking down notes and looking stuff up. So yeah, I will do my best not to make you regret that offer.
The nice thing about Riverside, I will say this, is they do offer a free side of it. It's limited on your audio use, limited on your track use and stuff like that. But just as a great tester, you can run it completely free. They allow you to record a couple episodes. That's how I started. If you go back to our original, it's only on Spotify. I only did it on Spotify, but I had a one shot that I did two parts, and I did it all through Riverside at the beginning. Our audio was rough. It's one of my most seen. I don't know why, but it's the oldest that's the most seen. And it's only on Spotify because I did that Spotify exclusive. But I did that on the free trial of Riverside. And it's so far, Riverside has not done me wrong. I would recommend them for a first-time podcaster. I know the higher-end podcasters, they have their own thing that they use, and it works great for them, and everyone has their different thing. But so far, this has done me justice.
Nice. Well, I mean, you've given them a stunning recommendation, I'd say.
Yeah, I hope that comes back full circle. That's all I can hope.
Yeah, of course.
Well, I'm going to let you go. I'm not going to take any more time. I know it's quite late for you.
Yeah, work will be coming soon.
Yep, that's the bummer part.
One day closer to D&D, though.
one day closer. It's always important. One day closer. Sadly, I don't have anything planned for this weekend, which sucks. But next weekend, we got another session. It's always important.
Nice. Oh yeah. Well, thank you again for the time, the conversation, the laughs, the information. Everything's been absolutely awesome. I super appreciate you having me on for this.
Of course. And like I said, any questions, any concerns, if you want to chat more, I'm always free on Discord. And if you can't get a hold of me on Discord, always Just message me on Instagram.
I will do that.
Well, thank everyone that does listen. I know it's a small group right now, but we're getting there. Go check out Down South DM at down_south_DM on Instagram.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And come check us out at coffee.n.dnd. And you can find our podcast on most streaming services at this point. Spotify is our biggest. They have a lot of our exclusive. They have like that a little first beginning of us because that's where I started. And hopefully soon we'll be hearing some podcast episodes from Down South DM.
Fingers crossed. No, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm excited for it.
It's a commitment thing. It took me a long time. It took me a whole year in order to commit to doing something like this, but I just went for it.
I got to do the same. I'm following your footsteps.
Do. And I will help you any way I can. Cause that's the least that I could do. Well,
sweet.
Have a great night. Everyone that listens, have a great night. Catch you on the next one.
Thank you, sir.